This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Imagine tuning in one night and finding out your favourite late night show has completely vanished, not because of poor ratings, but because of politics, something that was said. And that's the reality in the US this week. The American Broadcasting Company, or ABC, yanked Jimmy Kimmel live indefinitely after comments Kimmel made about the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Now, the Federal Communications Commission is weighing in, and Donald Trump is celebrating, and critics are calling it state censorship.
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Lauren Rosewarne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Lauren.
There's a degree of nervousness in my voice because I'm in a new studio and I don't know whether the buttons are going to work, but we've got you.
Let's just hope that the listeners can hear us.
They can hear us. So, Lauren, let's start with the headline. ABC has pulled Jimmy Kimmel live indefinitely. How unusual is this move in American television? I suppose not so much now, but over time.
Yeah, pretty unusual. I mean, the shows get axed all the time. That kind of stuff is pretty normal. We know that that normally will happen because of ratings or because a host wants to leave. The idea here, though, that a network has pulled the show because of the perception of pressure from the government, that's unprecedented. And that's where this story becomes one of, you use the word censorship. Censorship as a word gets bandied around all the time. Censorship is really only applicable when the government does it. And this is why this story is relevant, as opposed to, you know, something that might, you know, let's say Joy or my employer says something that we can't do in our own company. Mm. That's not censorship. When the government does it, though, it is. And this is where this story becomes complicated.
Now, Kimmel's comments, they were linked to Charlie Kirk's killing. What exactly did he say that created such a firestorm?
Right. Well, there's two things. So this is where, again, this story gets open for interpretation as to what he's being punished for. One aspect of the comment was the idea that that the perpetrator is one of MAGA's team or side. Now, it's unclear what he meant by that. Did he mean that this person, the alleged shooter, was a Trump supporter? The evidence, at least what's out there, seems to indicate that's not actually true in a reality sense. Or is it more philosophical that MAGA needs to own this culture that created this person? Right. Again, we don't have any information about what was in Jimmy Kimmel's head. But the other part of the joke, which I think is actually probably more what upset Trump, is Kimmel made a joke about how Trump, he cut to footage of a press conference where Trump was asked how he was coping in the aftermath of Kirk's assassination. And Trump said, yeah, I'm okay, then started to talk about a construction project at the White House. And Kimmel's comment was that this was the fourth stage of grief, construction. Oh. And that was considered to be the kind of thing that would really get under Trump's skin, because that's an attack on him and a mockery of his either inability to feel or at least him not doing mourning properly. So again, it's open for interpretation as to what was the nail in Kimmel's coffin, but those two things came in the same, I think it's an 8-minute monologue.
Now, the FCC, which is the Federal Communications Commission, they've suggested that ABC's broadcast license could be at risk. How much power does the FCC really have over networks like ABC, Disney, etc., when it's about comments like this?
Lots. So this is where the big difference between streaming services and cable exists as compared to broadcasters at broadcast networks who are using the government infrastructure and the public airwaves. Those companies need to get a license from the government. And in America, again, because things in America are always invariably complicated, a network such as the American Broadcasting Corporation, They may make the shows, they may produce the shows, but individual media markets, they're called affiliate stations, they will show the program, right? All of these places need licenses, and they're often owned by, so there'll be enough, there's a, I think it's a handful of companies that own these hundreds of affiliates. And one of these companies that owns a whole lot of these local affiliates is wanting at the moment to do a merger. To do a merger in America's media market, you need a permission from the FCC. What is this story reminding us of? The Colbert story a couple of weeks ago, when CBS was also wanting to go through a merger that also needed the government's permission. So that exists in the background of this story. Go back to the Watergate comment, you know, follow the money. What is the financial aspect of this story that exists as a motivator for ABC to act the way it did? And more so, all of those affiliate stations who said, we're not going to put Kimmel to air, forcing the ABC to pull the show.
It's really interesting. Do you reckon this is a broader crackdown on dissenting voices?
It's Trump flexing his muscles to see what he can get away with. And it seems like the answer to that is an awful lot. So the problem here is ABC shouldn't have acted the way it did. Mm. ABC shouldn't have buckled. But they buckled. And that buckling sets a precedent, because it's basically saying that that there's not really a great deal of media independence now. Again, you could always say, well, how much independence did ABC have, given that it's owned by Disney? Disney have also made a massive payout to, you know, there's lots of different aspects to this story. But how much independence exists if a network will buckle at this? And this is the same week that Fox had a media, in a morning show, a media commentator make a comment about lethal injecting homeless people. He since apologized, but there's no FCC crackdown on that in the public interest, right? Morning show, Fox, that comment is okay, yet Kimmel's comment, which as much as you might say it's in bad taste or it's offensive, how could it be justified, which is how the FCC is supposed to only act, is that threatening the public good or the public interest in a way that's saying homeless people can be lethally injected?
That is absolutely shocking. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and what happened also 2 days, I think it was less than 2 days later, 6 homeless people were shot at a homeless encampment in Minnesota. So when you talk about public safety, I would say that kind of comment, and then you've got a piece of evidence. What in Kimmel's comments, you could say Trump had his feelings hurt, but what public harm was there? You don't have to laugh at the comment. You don't even have to even find Kimmel okay. What in his comments justified this compared to the Fox presenter, who didn't even get a rap on the knuckles? He just issued his own apology because, God forbid, someone must have said, actually, maybe don't say that on TV.
With those mergers, is Fox involved in any of those mergers? So could one of these other outlets become more conservative as a result?
So this is that problem I mentioned with the idea of affiliate markets, right? Where there's lots of little local channels that run all of these shows. They're already owned by conservative companies. So the Sinclair Group and Nexstar are two big ones. They own lots and they basically gobble up all the local media, newspapers, as well as television shows. So they're already leaning that way anyway. What it does, though, is if ABC can't sell their stuff to all of these affiliates, how do they justify their existence? So that's that tricky relationship they're in. Now, those affiliates will say, well, hang on, we don't want a show in, I don't know, Kansas, let's say, a conservative state. We don't want to show this content because our market won't buy it, so or won't watch it. That's already the case. It's not like conservatives were watching Jimmy Kimmel up until today and now decided to turn off. This is a very weird kind of a weird stance to take, as though their market will suddenly find Jimmy Kimmel offensive.
How might the Disney, the parent company, I suppose, balance protecting its business interests against defending one of its star talents? Like, what could they do?
Well, So one argument as to what will happen in this space is you'll see big companies like Disney do the calculation and say they're better off not touching political content at all. Now, you might say, hang on, we've always had late night shows and we've always had political satire. Sure, but the ratings, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago in the context of the Colbert Show, the audience for these late night shows is shrinking. Right. It's shrinking quite dramatically. There's not a great deal of money in this. Even though Kimmel's been on the air, I think it's 20-something years, the audiences aren't the same as the Letterman days, right? It's a much, much smaller market. Disney is not making their money from the Jimmy Kimmel Show. So they can do a calculation and say, is it worth getting up, you know, getting the FCC angry at us? Is it worth playing in this sandpit? Would we not be better off producing content that all of America can enjoy? But the consequence of that means that the kind of political commentary, the kind of political criticism and satire we're used to may no longer get made, at least not on broadcast networks. The question is, do we then look to streaming services for that? The issue there, though, is then people have to pay for that, and that skews the audience as well.
Finally, Lauren, if we zoom out, what does this moment tell us about the state of democracy and free expression in America right now?
That it's extremely under threat and that it's a political football. Because I have had to put up with the Trump or MAGA for years talking about freedom of speech and the importance of freedom of speech and having Elon Musk talk about freedom of speech, on and on and on, until it's speech that they don't like, which to me highlights this was never about freedom of speech. It was always about working out how they could take control of everything.
Lauren, on that note, this is like a saga. Who knows?
We better have a better story next week, Warren, because you and I are in our blood pressure. We can't do it anymore.
Someone texts in, life imitates art. Hacks. Lauren, catch you next week.
Talk to you then. Thanks, Warren.
Thank you, Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.